Welcome to AOC Key Solutions, Keys to Winning, where we talk about government contracting topics such as business development, win strategies, tips for managing proposals, and more. Keys to Winning, produced by the KSI Business Development Institute, gives you a chance to learn from leaders and experts in their fields. I'm Raymond Thibodeau, today's host of Keys to Winning. In this episode, we talk to Maria Panicelli, an attorney for the Federal Contracting Group at the law firm of Cohen, Seglius, Pilas, Greenhall, and Furman. She talks about what could be a hidden iceberg for many companies, especially small businesses, when it comes to teaming up with big companies for large indefinite quantity, indefinite delivery, or IDIQ contracts. Later in the Dow of Jim segment, Jim McCarthy, KSI's principal owner and technical director, talks about the subtle distinctions between compliance and responsiveness. As I mentioned, Maria Panicelli is a federal contracting attorney at Cohen Seglius. First of all, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Hey, Ray.
One of your articles on the perils of affiliation seemed to go viral in the contracting community. Apparently, you hit on a topic that resonated with many people. The topic was affiliation. Why do you think your article got so much traction?
The contracting landscape, as it's been over the last few years, it's made it increasingly difficult for small businesses to compete based on their own resources. And what we found are many of our clients, therefore, are looking to team up with larger businesses, form these teaming agreements, and subcontract out to them so that they can rely on the resources of the large contractor, but, of course, maintain their own small business status and, ability to compete for more set-asides in the future.
Okay, so tell us exactly what affiliation is.
Affiliation is governed by 13 CFR Section 121-103. And basically, it occurs when a small business becomes associated with a large business to such an extent that basically they're considered to be one and the same or so closely affiliated that they're related for purposes of size status determination. Generally, that happens through a substantial amount of contact between the two businesses, partnering on multiple projects, or it can also occur if it seems as though one business has control over another.
How do these investigations of affiliation actually come about? Is that a Small Business Administration or SBA thing? Or is it up to the contracting officer or CO for that acquisition?
We've seen it where, say, a small business has teamed with a larger business and is in the bidding stages. And bids have been submitted and are being evaluated by the contracting officer or the source selection team. And either at that time or at the time of award, a disgruntled competitor or some other competitor will protest, saying that the small business is not, in fact, small. Or in the cases of, the service-disabled set-asides or the women-owned set-asides will also protest and say that they are not small, therefore they do not fit within the threshold categories for the various small business programs. In that case, depending on whether it's, which program it is, either the SBA or, different agencies will do their own size determination and kind of address the concerns that were brought to light in the protest. That said, affiliation can also be a question that is covered when the contracting officer independently thinks that there is something going on or thinks there's a reason to be concerned, or the SBA itself, not necessarily the contracting officer on a certain project, but the SBA itself could either get wind of something that they think might not seem right or can get a tip or might just be doing a regular audit and can kind of look into what the small business is doing, whether or not there's any affiliation problems out there.
What's the harm that this affiliation determination is trying to fix?
I think the harm that they're trying to fix is that there are going to be, quote-unquote, small businesses that pretty much are used as a pass-through by large businesses. I think the fear is, and there have been some GSA reports that have shown that this is a valid fear, that a large business, a business that makes millions and millions of dollars well above the small size standard threshold will kind of set up a pet or a dummy puppet industry kind of business, and then will use that small business to go out and compete for set-aside contracts. And, given the purpose of the small business programs, government really wants to try to help small businesses grow. So if you have a large business that's setting up a puppet small business and using that small business to go out and compete for those set-aside contracts, taking them away from legitimately small businesses, and then the large business steps in and actually performs the contracts, the purpose of the SBA programs are kind of being circumvented in that kind of situation.
I see. So let's say a competitor challenges your SB status claim and the SBA or the CO investigates it and finds that there is, in fact, an affiliation problem. What then?
The affiliation can be in one of two contexts. Sometimes it can be found in the ostensible subcontractor context. And in that situation, it's where basically the rule holds that a small business is unusually reliant on a subcontractor. Under this theory, a small business could have a problem with affiliation if it teams with a large contractor and then allows that large contractor to control the project. Outside of that context, you can also have just general affiliation, which is found when there's some sort of significant connection between a small business and a large business. So in the first context, in ostensible subcontractor affiliation, a lot of times the affiliation determination will be made in the context of a protest. So if somebody protests your business saying that it's not, you know, the small business that you claim that it is, if a determination is made in that context, a lot of times it will affect only that contract. That said, once the SBA is tipped off that there's a problem, they're going to do a further investigation. And for all intents and purposes, no matter what, if you get an affiliation determination, you should rest assured that there's going to be further repercussions. There's going to be a further investigation. If you're also certified as a service-disabled veteran-owned small business with the VA, there might be some communication between those agencies. There might be an investigation undertaken by the VA as to your eligibility over there, which, of course, if you're not small, would also be affected. So in any context, no matter what context the affiliation determination arises, it's pretty likely that you're not only going to lose your ability to, you know, win the specific contract that you were perhaps fighting for, but that you will lose your eligibility period and, you know, not be allowed to compete for further contracts. There is also an additional possibility, given the increased prosecution of False Claims Act and all sorts of different fraud-type claims that are involved in these cases, that the agencies might actually come after you for some sort of fraudulent contact. We've seen that as well, and we've actually seen an increase in the amount of such cases. It seems like the federal government is really, really out to, you know, de-incentivize people trying to scam these different small business programs.
You've convinced me that affiliation is not good. So how do we avoid it?
The advice from a baseline standpoint is pretty simple. What we usually tell our clients is just simply maintain control over your company and every project on which you're the prime contractor. If you're going to team up with a subcontractor, make sure that you don't have other ties to that company. So if you are a small business and, you know, you're going to enter into a teaming arrangement with ABC Large Company, not the best idea if you have a family member that's a part of ABC Large Company, or if you used to work there. You don't want to share any rental space or equipment or employees with that company. Any of those kind of ties can be found to have a, you know, general affiliation type sense to them. You can also avoid affiliation by hiring your own employees, renting your own space, securing your own equipment. You also don't want to have any ties between you and large companies that you team with financially. It is permissible to help them, or to use them, rather, to help you get bonding. Obviously, the government understands that small businesses sometimes have a lower bonding capacity and that the larger businesses are going to help on that front. That said, you don't want to have them as a guarantor on any of your financial documents. You don't want to have any sort of evidence out there that you rely on them for financial support, that they've loaned you money. Any of those kind of things. Anything that makes you appear that you are reliant on financial assistance or that they could use financial duress to influence you is going to be a red flag. On each project, you're going to want to make sure that you maintain, as the small business prime contractor, control of the project. You're going to want to control the means and methods by which the project is carried out. You're going to want to make sure that you perform the most vital aspects of the project. If it seems as though you are simply sitting back and letting the large contractor perform the most vital aspects of any particular contract, that's going to be a red flag to the SBA or the CO.
Thank you, Maria.
Thanks, Ray. Bye.
Now on to the Tao of Jim with our very own Jim McCarthy, KSI's principal owner and technical director. Jim, you say that compliance and responsiveness may be distant cousins, but they're definitely not siblings.
Yes, let me give you an example of why that. Let's posit for a minute that we're in a typical red team, and some red team reviewer is sitting there, and he or she all of a sudden says, ah, this is non-compliant. Well, it may be, but on the other hand, they may just be reacting that it's lousy. It doesn't say anything. It's therefore, it's not that it's not compliant, it's just not responsive or not any good. But if you use the word non-compliant, then all of a sudden everybody runs for cover. Oh, that can't, we can't allow that to happen. But compliance means you address it, right? It doesn't go to the quality of the addressal. It just simply goes to you address it. It's a pass-fail. You either are or not. Now, once you pass the test that you've got the compliance, then it's your job to make that item as powerful and as compelling as possible. If the RFP called you to address the subject and you address it, that's being compliant. Now, how well you address it is a different story.
Thank you, Jim.
I'm Raymond Thibodeau, and this has been Keys to Winning from AOC Key Solutions Incorporated, or KSI, a consulting firm that has helped companies across the country win billions of dollars in federal contracts. To learn more, visit us at www.aockeysolutions.com. You can also follow our podcast on SoundCloud by visiting www.soundcloud.com/AOC Key Solutions. Also, follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Keys to Winning is a production of KSI's Business Development Institute. Thank you for listening.